Thank you, Ms. Blair. Amen. I hope you got your Bibles with you this morning. And as we kind of close out our missions month with this morning service and tonight, I hope you'll focus your hearts and mind on what God has for you and your part in the gospel, the old, old story, as was just sung about, going all around the world. And this morning, again, we just thank every person that's visiting with us. Maybe you're returning from way up north where they seem to have more than three seasons like we do here in Florida. But we're glad to have you here and glad to have you in God's house. We have one of our good friends, been a friend to our ministry a long, long time. We're thankful for Brother Knickerbocker and his work in the ministry here of Helps. And so he's going to preach to us this morning, and I pray that you'll listen and let the Lord speak to your heart.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Parsons. That's quite a name, isn't it, when you think about it? Parson means preacher. Preacher, preacher. Amen. It fits him well, doesn't it, huh? And we thank the Lord for Dr. Carter. What a great Sunday school lesson we had this morning. If you miss Sunday school, you're really missing out, I'm telling you. It was a good recap of the entire book of Revelation and a little bit of chapter 19. And it was just a blessing, wasn't it? And so he caught me up on everything I needed to know about the end times. And we are thrilled to be here this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4. And we want to talk about the financial need of missions. You say, you're going to talk about money? Every time you go to Walmart, they want money. Isn't that amazing? Every time you buy a car, something magical happens. All the money comes right out of your bank account, right into their coffers. And, it's been mentioned about your goal here, and it seems like every year we're here, it's about the same thing, and somehow you make it. And Brother Carter said one time, he said, some of you folks are holding out to the 11th hour, you know, and then they give. And that's okay, but... you know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to be part of God's ministry and the work around the world. And, you know, this church has a worldwide impact. And you folks have a worldwide impact. When you give to missions, you are giving to the work of God. You are giving to the gospel going forth. And people are being saved and growing into their faith. Young preachers are being trained all over the world. And that's, I'm just talking about Help Ministries, and then there's other organizations out there as well that are preaching the gospel and sending out missionaries all over the world. And, you know, some of you students here maybe feel called to missions and say, some of you are from other countries, maybe you feel called to go back to your country and serve the Lord there. That'd be a wonderful thing. But whatever God calls you to do, we've all been called to the same thing, and we're all on the same team. We're serving the Lord, we're taking the gospel. And we thank God for the opportunity of just being involved in that. And of course, things that go forward must go forward with money. Amen? And it's kind of a necessary evil. But, you know, God is the giver. And so we're not going to give anything he hasn't given to us already. What do you have that's not been given to you? Sometimes the retiree guys, they say, I worked 40 long years. I deserved my retirement checks, and I did it, and I deserve it, and I'm keeping everything I have. Well, just a minute now. Who let you get out of bed every morning to go to work? Why didn't you wake up with MS or muscular dystrophy or cancer or something early in your life and stop you right in your tracks? It's been the God's mercy and graciousness and goodness to us. And so we need to find our place in the work of God. In this passage of Scripture, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19, I see three things here. First of all, we're going to look at the need of the missionary. The missionary has needs, but we're going to talk about a couple of things that you may not think about. Number two is the need that is met by the church. And the third thing is the need of the church and its members. So everybody has needs, sounds like, doesn't it, huh? And we do. Let's read verses chapter 4, verse 10 to 19, if you would, please. And follow along as I read, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity of being here today. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the example that the Apostle Paul left us in being a missionary around the world of his day. Thank you for the churches that stood with him. And we know that there are over 125 names that he names in his epistles of people that he acted like he couldn't do without. So we know it wasn't just the Apostle Paul. He had a great support team that helped him, that traveled with him, that delivered his letters, that brought things to him and supplied his needs as he traveled and traveled with him even. And we thank you for that. Then, Lord, today we have the same thing. We have missionaries, but they cannot stand there by themselves and go alone and build their churches and win people to Christ. They need a support group, and we are that. And I pray that you will help us as we think about the place that we have in your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to first of all notice the need of the missionary here. Paul is writing this to the church at Philippi, and the Philippian church as it says here in other places, it was a poor and persecuted church. Now you wouldn't think that a poor and persecuted church would be a church that gave. And I've learned one thing in life, and it's taken me a long time to learn it, is that it's not necessarily the people that have the money are the ones who give to God. In fact, it's not usually the biggest churches that give to God. This is a big church. This is the biggest church we're in the whole time we're out here, going in the last 45 churches we've been in around Florida in the last 2.5 months with our national pastors. But it's amazing what these small churches are doing out there. These people have a heart for God, and we've had larger love offerings this year than we've ever had in the history of Help Ministries. The last 28 years, we got a call from Brother Ron the other day. We average usually about $2 million a year that comes through Help Ministry. It doesn't stay there. It just comes through and goes out to the world, to 600 national pastors in 70 countries of the world that we're supporting. But he called, he says, we've already hit $3 million, and we've still got some to go. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's not supposed to happen during COVID, is it? I said that dreaded word again, didn't I, huh? I'm getting tired of hearing COVID-19, aren't you? I'm just tired of it. Now, let's move on, amen? Let's just serve the Lord, do something for the Lord here. But, you know, God is not stopped by anything. God's work is going to go on no matter what. Hey, it made it through the Roman Empire. God's word flourished through the Roman Empire and all the terrible emperors, like Emperor Nero, who Paul was writing under. And some of these people make our president look like a Sunday school boy, you know, is what wickedness they were involved in. And you know, it's amazing that God is in control and his work is going on and the work of God is going around the world like it's never had before. You know, I've said this several times, and I think it's true that, and as I pastored for many years, and I know how pastors think. They're thinking about, how can I get more people in the church? We go soul winning. We knock on doors. We make calls. We bring people in and try to get our churches filled up and get going. Maybe God had in mind with this COVID thing, how can I get the gospel out of the church into the world? And I don't know how many people you have watching my live stream, but you probably can figure that out. I was in a small church, about 50 members some time ago, and they said, now, preacher, we're only here, he says, but you're going to be preaching over 500 people this morning. And I got up and I said, I want to welcome people from around the world who are listening by live streaming. And they started checking in from India and from different parts of the country and all over the world. And, you know, people are being saved, and I'm hearing pastors tell about people who are being saved by hearing the gospel preached over the internet. From places that they're not churches, or places they need, or people can't get out, or whatever. And so I think God is in the business of getting the word of God out. Amen? And he'll use every means and every method that's possible to do it. And I think we need to jump in on it, and many people are. Thank God for that. But I want you to notice the missionary, Paul the Apostle here, he's saying two things here about the missionary. And the need of the missionary is number one in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, contentment is not something that you comes naturally or normally. I am not by nature content. And if you're honest with yourself, you aren't either. I want things to happen yesterday, don't you? Things can't happen fast enough for me sometimes. But I have to learn to be content with what I have. And the Apostle Paul said, I have learned through experience that if I'm full, if I have lots, I'm content. If I have little, I'm content. Let me ask you, are you content this morning? The missionary needs to be a contented person. You know, a person who's serving the Lord, who's trusting the Lord for support and so forth, has to come to the place where they say, you know, whatever God gives me, God wants me to have. And if God wants me to have more, he will give it to me. Amen? And I'm content with what I have. It's okay. The second thing he needs to learn in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He needs to learn to trust Christ to meet his needs. That's the need of the missionary. Be content with what you have, and if you need more, trust the Lord for it, and he will meet the need. He's promised he will. And God can do all things, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Even be patient. Even be content. Well, let's hasten on to the second point here, the need met by the church. And Paul talks in loving terms to this special church of Philippi who stood with him over and over and over again, giving need to his needs. Sometimes they knew about it and sent it. Sometimes they didn't know about it and sent it. But they were faithful in doing that. That's what God wants the church to do, is just be faithful in our partnership with our missionaries. Just be faithful. Trust the Lord for the money. It'll come in. And just go ahead and give it ahead of time. Amen? That's faith giving right there. You know, you say, well, I think God wants me to give $20, $30 a week to missions, or $100 a week to missions, or $1,000, whatever your level you're on. And don't sit around and wait for it to grow on trees. Don't sit around and wait for someone to just send it in the mail. Write your check out when you write your tithe out and give it. And now you're saying, okay, God, I've done what you told me to do. Now I'm trusting you to take care of my needs. It's amazing what he'll do. He'll keep that old car running 10 times longer than it should. Amen? And it's a wonderful thing to see how God takes care of his own. But he says here numerous times in verse 14, 15, he says, notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. In verse 15, he says, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16, he says, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 18, I received the things which were sent from you from Epaphroditus, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Oh, what a church that saw the need of the missionary and said, I will have a partnership in that work of God, and I'm gonna just give to them. And maybe I don't have it, but I'm going to give it. I'm going to trust God to meet my needs. And God, you know, when you give to the Lord, here's the problem with missions giving. Now, tithe, your 10% belongs inside the church. Amen? I believe God's very clear on that. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? There may be meat in my house. You can keep the lights lit. You can keep your preacher paid. You can keep the Sunday school materials and tracts being printed. And all the ministries that are going on here, your radio, your college, high school, and grade school, all this printing ministry, it demands a lot of money, doesn't it? And that comes from the tithes of God's people. And I believe there, if every Christian gave 10% of their income to the local church would have no need. I really believe that. I've seen it happen so many times. So your tithe belongs inside the church. Your missions belongs outside the walls of the church. Amen? Now, that's a little harder because your money goes out, and a lot of times you don't hear what's happening out there and what's actually doing. Now, Paul said, I'm reporting to you what is going on. And he says, I want to tell you something that I've done this because I don't desire a gift. I'm not desiring a big love offering every month. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And dear friends, we are not going to find out all the fruit that we've been responsible for getting until we get to heaven. So that's kind of hard. We guys kind of delayed, isn't it? Sometimes we have to just wait on some of those things. Now thank the Lord if you get reports or mission letters and they're read here and you say, okay, there's a missionary letter from so-and-so in another country and 10 souls got saved, or over here in another country 100 souls got saved. You know, you say, we are supporting them and this is fruit that goes onto your account as well as their account. I mean, God's generous with his giving, isn't he? And with his accounting. And he said, you get just as much reward as the missionary does. If you're helping him stay there and you're putting time and effort and money into what he's doing. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. The need met by the church. And God's not going to go to the world to get the money for missions. Right. Not going to go to unsaved people or backslidden believers. They won't give anyhow. They'll give to their, let them give to their causes. You give to missions. Amen? I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I get calls all the time. It seems the older I get, the more these calls I get. People want money for this and money for that, money for that. Oh, don't you care about the children, and don't you care about the dogs and cats, and don't you care about this, and don't you care about that? You know, there's a lot of people out there care about that a whole lot more than I do. Not that I don't care about those things, but I'm saying you got to figure out where your money's going to go for the best bang for your buck, amen. And for eternal purposes. And there's a lot of people out there that'll take care of the dogs and the cats, and you don't know. I'm never sure how much money is really going to the children through these organizations, and we pray for them. But listen, do we care about children? Of course we do. That's why I have a Sunday school hour. That's why I have a bus ministry. You know, these are the things that really matter and that are going to make an eternal difference in people's lives. And so we've got to get our minds on eternal values. And so this church had Paul in mind and they shared in the fruit. Now the last thing is verse 19. The need of the church and the members. We know the missionaries have a need. They have a need to be content. They need to trust God for what they need. The need is met by God's church, but then we look at the church, you folks and me, and we all have needs, don't we? If I said, how many of you have some kind of need? It may be a physical need, it may be a spiritual need, it may be a financial need, it may be a psychological need, it could be any kind of need. I think every hand would go up here somewhere along the line. You got a need of a lost loved one that needs to be saved, and these things are on our hearts, and some of these things cost money. But we all have needs. And I want you to notice that this promise here in verse 19 is not to the lost, it's to the church. It's not just to any church, it's to a missions-giving church. It's to the Philippian church. He says, I have a need. He says, I've learned to trust the Lord in my need. You folks have met my needs in the past. He says, now I'm going to tell you that God is going to meet your need. That's how it all trickles down, doesn't it, huh? Here's the missionary, the church, and the church is meeting his need. And then God meets the church's need. And that's so they can keep meeting the needs of the missionary. It just passes on just like that. And notice this verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is the supplier of the needs. He knows your need more than you do. In fact, he knows the needs you're going to have next week and next year and next month. And he knows it all. And nothing ever takes God by surprise. God never said, oops, never saw that coming. We do it all the time, don't we? But he says, let me tell you, this for you church that is giving to missions and standing by the man of God, he says, my God, when you have a need, you're giving out of your need money. You're giving to God. My God shall supply all your, whatever your need is, he's going to supply it. Now, our budget is set up like this. First of all, you give God your 10%. Amen? You give God your tithe. Okay? And then you got to pay your mortgage. Somehow, some way, they want money for your mortgage payment and your rent. Okay? And you got to pay some insurance stuff here. You got to pay for your light bill. You got to pay for your water bill. You got to pay for your clothes. Does God expect you to pay for all these things? You better believe he does. If you don't take care of your home, you're worse than an infidel, the Bible says, right? So he knows we have needs. We're not pretending we don't have other things our money goes for, and God expects you to stay current on your bills so you have a good testimony. But somewhere along the line, we have extra money too. Have you guys ever heard of she money? Some of you guys have she money. Do you know that? You say, what's that? You say, that's money she knows nothing about. Now, be truthful about it. The ladies, they have some he money. Money he knows nothing about. I was saying this the other day, and people are laughing like crazy. Just like you did. They say, oh, yeah. Where is it? Squirreled away somewhere, man. It's under it's in a drawer somewhere, or, you know, in a checkbook maybe. But it's way somewhere, and that's, we have money left over, and we save for this, we save for that, we live for different needs that may come up. Now we haven't had anything break down in a while or anything, but we got some money here just in case it does break down. Amen. That's our need money. When we give out of our need money to the work of God, God says, "I will supply your need because you gave out of what you could have kept." For whatever could have happened, and I'm gonna take, when that need comes up, I'm gonna take care of you. I'll meet your need. That's what he's saying here. He's not saying give all your money. No, he never says that. He can't do two things at the same time. He can't say pay your bills and take care of your family and then give all your money to missions. That doesn't make any sense. So we give our tithes, we pay our bills, we stay current, and then God gives us more money left over because we live in America. That's one reason. Amen? Oh, he's so good to us here. And you know what we do, what my wife and I do? We determine what we're giving, and we put it right over here with our tithe, and we write the check to both of them at the same time. Our tithe, our missions. You say, well, just a minute. Why do you take it from over there? Well, because God's already said he's taking care of this. And we put that out there. We say, okay, this is by faith that God will take care of us. And you know what? In 40 years of our marriage, he has never let us down one time. In fact, we've gotten ahead. Amen? Amen. And I think Brother Perkins was telling us that he made tons of money before he got called in ministry. And he says he's got more money in his pocket now than he ever had. That's what he said yesterday. So I'm going to ask him for some after the service. Amen? I want him to get blessed. Amen? I appreciate that, brother. But listen, God wants it. God will do that to you. He'll do that for you. Because he'll take care of our needs. He does far more than that. I think of a couple of illustrations in the Bible. We'll close with these. Remember the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish? What if he had said, Lord, I don't know if you can multiply this little lunch. Would you just demonstrate, first of all, that you can multiply by just turning out some bread in your hands? Just make it appear. And after you do that, I'll know you can do it and I can trust you, and then I'll give you my lunch. He didn't do that. He says, here, Lord, here's the lunch. Do what you want with it. And then Jesus took it and he multiplied it. Jesus could not multiply something that was not given to him to start with. And so we have to give first. Amen? I think of the lady in 1 Kings 17, the widow woman that Elijah came to, and he sees this lady picking up sticks to make a fire. And he asks the lady, he says, could you fetch me some water? Oh, and by the way, while you're going to get some water, would you make me a little cake? I'm kind of hungry. Here's the man of God. He's got some needs. She says, you don't understand. These sticks I'm picking up is to make a fire. I've got just enough meal and just enough oil to put together to make a cake for my son and I. We're going to eat and we're going to die. Sound like she was at the end of the road, doesn't it? He says, that's okay. Make me a cake first. You say, what a pompous fellow this is. Who does he think he is? But in the next verse, it says, because my God has showed me that he will take care of your need. And she, by faith, made him a cake instead of she and her son, and took it to the man of God with a little cruse of water, and he refreshed himself, and she went back and picked up where she left off, and all of a sudden there's meal there, and there's oil there, and the Bible says it never ran out until it rained again. I look back in the context there. This is the first chapter that Elijah says to the king, it's not going to rain, but by my word. 3 years later, it rained. Do you know that God took care of that lady and she never wanted for anything, for food, for 3 years? The Bible calls it many days. It was three years that God took care of her. Who said, but she did it, she gave the cake first, see? There's a principle there about giving to the Lord first. That's faith giving. It's not faith if you have to wait for someone to give it to you. You already have it. God doesn't want you to give something you don't have. He'll give you more so you can give more. Amen? I like Brother Chad McMillan. He says, God loveth a cheerful giver that'll even take it from a grouch. Amen? And just be cheerful about it. Say, praise God, I get the opportunity to show God his faithfulness to me. Has God been faithful to you? Brings me to tears sometimes to think how faithful God has been to me over the years. I don't deserve it. But he has done more than I could ever ask or think. And when he asks to give a little bit extra, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Because he's already promised he's going to take up where I left off. Oh, listen, God's desire is to reach the world with the gospel. He'll only do it through his people. And God gives us enough to supply our basic needs and then also to have some leftovers. Amen? Now I ask you, what you doing with the leftovers? What you doing with the leftovers? Give it to the Lord. Amen? Let me just say this, that giving to God is a great blessing because of the great gift that was given to us 2,000 years ago. Our Savior Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, left heaven's best to come to earth's worst. Man. And he knew when he was born, he knew as a young man what the end would be. He came not to live. We were born to live. He was born to die. And he died for you and he died for me. He gave his life so we could have everlasting life. By simple faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you trusted him as your Savior? Do you know for sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? Any question about that in your mind? Erase those questions. When you get saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit and he puts in your heart the satisfaction that you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to, it's not if and but or for. It's I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Oh, listen, that's the whole reason for Christmas, whole reason for missions. Missions is all about the gospel, isn't it? And I want to challenge you to come to the altar this morning. If you're not sure you're saved, you come and let someone take the word of God and show you how you can know for certain that you're going to heaven. Christian, you may want to come to the altar this morning and just say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do with my life, but I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. Put on my heart what you want me to give for missions. Lord, you know what I've got squirreled away over here or over there that nobody else knows about, but you know about it. And Lord, if you want me to give that, I'll give that. But Lord, I want to be used of you to reach a dying world for Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Then the pastor will come. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us. Thank you that while we were sinners, you died for us. Thank you for the privilege of being involved in missions by serving, by giving, by going, by prayer. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless this group of people this morning, Lord, your people. Lord, you want to do mighty things through them, mightier than has ever been done before. And Lord, the world is telling us we can't do this, we can't do that, we can only go so far, but there are no limits when we serve you. You do far beyond what anybody could ever ask or think. And I thank you that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So help us to do that, Lord, for your glory and honor. And if someone's here without Jesus, may they come. May they come running to the altar to get saved, Lord, and say, I've got to know this. I've got to know for certain. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We stand to your feet this morning, and if God spoke to your heart, this is an invitation for you to come. If you're not sure, if you died right now, that you'd have a home in heaven, boy, we'd like to take the Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. And maybe you're here and God spoke to your heart about the cause of missions, maybe taking some things that are in your account here and laying them up in a different account, one in heaven. Why don't you come and speak to God about it as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? Folks have come, and some in need of baptism. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never come and you've never joined a church like this. You've been saved. You've accepted Christ as your Savior, but you're not a member of a local church. We encourage you to come. Step out. We have the baptism pool ready, and we're ready to baptize if you're ready to surrender to the will of God in your life to join His church. We'd love to have you upon your profession of faith. As Brother Bert sings, why don't you step out if God has led you to do so?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Why don't you bow your heads one more time with us today? And Brother Bert's going to lead us in one more song. Maybe you've been holding out. Amen. I can give you my testimony of my dad over and over again, and he came to a service just like this, but he worried about his soul, his eternal destiny from Sunday till Thursday, because he heard the gospel preached and he knew that if he died, he would spend an eternity in hell because he had not accepted the Savior. But he was thankful when somebody came by the house on a Thursday. Don't put it off till Thursday. Don't put it off for another day. While folks' heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Brother Burt sings one more invitation hymn, why don't you come out and accept Christ this morning?
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight-rich.